Well, God has led me to stay on the subject of prayer, at least for another message or two. We've talked about what is prayer, we've talked about why do we pray, and now we'll talk about establishing a habit. That first message on prayer, actually, we talked about praying for our missionaries some time ago. And then we said, well, why should we pray? And that's a fair question. If God controls all things, and he is the creator of heaven and earth and all things in it, why would he need us to pray? Why would he even devise such a system? Surely he does not need anything that man or anything that he has created can give to him. But as we read his word, we begin to discover much more about prayer than maybe we first thought when it first comes to our mind. We've been talking about reading from Ezekiel 22, verse 30, where God says, he looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But he found none. God did not want us to destroy Jerusalem, but he needed someone to stand in the gap to defend the city in prayer. And he found no one. So he destroyed the city. God clearly needed mankind to be involved in that, to call upon him to move on this earth and to move on the behalf of mankind. That's a really great read if you want to read Ezekiel 22. That's the very end of the chapter, but the first of the chapter talks about all the things that are happening in Jerusalem, which is why God was getting ready to pour out his wrath. But he looked for someone to stand in the gap. But he found no one. Let it not be said of us. Amen. When we read the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus, we read of Jesus praying to the Father. Over and over again, we see that. So if prayer is really pointless, why did Jesus pray? Well, Jesus prayed, as we talked about, to maintain this constant communication with his Father. Jesus constantly said, he did not speak except for what the Father had him to say. He did not act on his own. He acted only in accordance with his Father's will. So please turn to John chapter 5, verse 30. So we can see it here in God's word, in Jesus' own words. If you have a red letter Bible, this should be in red letters. John 5, chapter 30. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Now, wouldn't that be a great goal for every one of us to think about? I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I remember talking to Ken one time, and he said, I don't have to be satisfied, but he needs to be satisfied. I thought, that's a great perspective. I don't have to be satisfied, but God has to be satisfied with what I do. We turn over to John 14:10. We'll read more of this later, but very familiar verses here. Here's Jesus is talking to his disciples, specifically to Philip. Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather is the Father living in me who is doing his work. What a thought. Even Jesus is saying it is the Father living in himself, in that body of flesh, doing God's work. So it should be with us. Amen. Larry, would you pray over the word today, please?
For your kind of Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to study your word, the freedom to do so. Lord, I pray that you will have the Holy Spirit in the form of get him with words to say, touch our ears so we can hear.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Hallelujah. Jesus knew the will of his Father because Jesus was in constant communication with him. And of course, not just in communication, but in submission to him, right? He just submitted to him totally. And we too, we can know the will of the Father if we follow the example of Jesus and stay in constant communication with him in prayer. And then what's the next step? We've got to be submitted to that. So sometimes we actually know what the Father wants of us, but we don't do it anyway. And so, Lord, help us with that. That's our struggle. And that's what sets Jesus completely apart. He never once did his own will. Never once did he do anything to please himself, only to please the Father. And that's what made him the perfect sacrificial lamb. He didn't even want to die on that cross. If you read the word, you know, take this cup from me. But he did the will of the Father. He hung on that cross so that we could live. Wow. I just love that illustration because it makes me stay so much more solidly connected to Jesus. You paid it all. I just got to walk in that favor. We've already got the mercy. What good is favor without mercy? You need mercy, which is you're not going to pay the debt you owe. But and then after that, you get the favor, and you walk in God's favor. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Jesus also has specifically commanded his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 to 38, where we've read this before. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Think about this. Jesus could have prayed that himself, right? But he commanded the disciples to pray. And we are to obey this command as well. When we are in step with God, our prayers actually put the hands of God in motion through us. Prayer never changes God's purposes. Instead, it influences his action. It influences us. C.S. Lewis says, "I don't pray to change God. I pray to change me." And prayer keeps us ever dependent upon God and connected with God as we need to be. We need to be connected to be able to walk in the peace of God. The second message that I talked about was, what is prayer? That was about why do we pray. What is prayer? And we discovered last week in God's Word that prayer is not someone using great sounding words to make themselves look good to God or to look good to people around them or to make them feel super religious because they can really pray good. Remember the reward they receive. We read it last week. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:5, the only reward they will receive is the admiration of those who are impressed with how they sound. And that's their reward. God does not hear the prayers that are prayed simply to impress the people nearby. Prayer is not babbling on and on, thinking, God will hear me if I talk long enough and just repeat myself over and over again. Prayer is not persuading God to do something he's unwilling to do, but it is implementing his will on this earth. Prayer is not a way to put forth our personal agenda with men, mankind, people, or with God himself. Prayer is intended to align our thinking and our thoughts with his thoughts, our will with his will. Prayer is not a way of guaranteeing what we get, that we will get what we want from God. Even though sometimes when you read the scriptures, it kind of sounds that way. We'll read one later that sounds that way, but it's not. It's not a way to bind God into being our heavenly errand boy. Or as I read in that Firm Foundation study book that we have, to make him a cosmic Santa Claus. Is God your cosmic Santa Claus who's just waiting there, just waiting to fulfill your little prayerful Christmas list? No. Prayer is simply spending time with God. It is an open conversation to God about our need for him, about our love and appreciation for him, and about the concerns of our hearts for ourselves and for others. Prayer is an intimate conversation with God about everything in our lives. And it's like talking to your very best and your very closest friend. And maybe that's something that people don't really totally understand. I confess, I was raised in a Lutheran church, and I didn't learn to pray that way in the Lutheran church. And I'm not slamming the Lutheran church or any other denomination, but we were largely read prayers, and the prayers that we read, those are what we do. And as a child, they seemed like, okay, those are the sanctioned prayers of God, so we got to stick with those. It was only until I got into a Foursquare Gospel Church in Grand Junction many years ago, and then coming here, I realized, no, it is like talking with your very best and closest friend. And it's even better than that, because we don't have to hold anything back from God. We have no need of any secrets from God. Amen? Unless you don't know God, there are no secrets anyway. So at least you can just be open with Him. I know it helps a lot for me when I'm going through a difficult time. So why we pray, actually, and what prayer is very much the same thing. Amen? We pray to maintain a close relationship with God, and prayer is spending time with God in a very close and intimate way. So they're very similar. Prayer is more than just having that conversation with God, though. It completes our relationship with Him. Just as intimate conversations with your closest friends, your family, including your spouse, that completes your relationship with those people in your life. You don't have a complete relationship with them if you never communicate with each other. So, if you don't already do this, please begin to look at prayer this way. A close, intimate conversation with God. A conversation just between you and God. And the beauty of it is it can take place anywhere, at any time. You don't have to be in a church or at a designated place and time. You don't have to, and you should not, confine prayer just to dinner time or when you're going to have a little food or bedtime or while you're here at church. As we read through the Gospels, we see that Jesus prayed wherever He was. We also see He did not confine His prayer to the designated times of the temple. Remember, there's designated prayer times of the temple. Did He ever do that? No. Partly because He's not a priest, right? He wasn't of the priesthood. But He kind of gives us that example. They prayed at the specific times in the temple. He never did that. But what it does do is it completes our relationship with God. And so again, we follow the example of Christ. We don't have to confine our time to the temple or to this or to that. It allows us then to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The strength and the purpose of your relationship with God comes as a result of growing and deepening your intimacy with Him. And we only can do that by spending time with Him. Only happens with daily interaction with Him. And how do we do that? I pray that many of you have developed a habit, a daily habit, of reading from God's Word to become a disciple of Christ. I've brought messages before on faithful reading of God's Word, and God's been speaking to me about maybe I should bring some of those back again to get us back into that focus of how important it is to read His Word daily, because you want to spend time with God, spend time right here. But we can also deepen our relationship by daily praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. We do those things kind of in conjunction with each other. Amen? I've often said before that we need to pray before we even begin to read the Word of God. Get our minds lined up and say, Lord, teach me Your way and Your will. Transform me. Renew my mind in Your Word. And that can be a very great starting place for prayer. And if you don't start your day with praying and reading God's Word, then at least start your day with prayer. At least a little bit of prayer. Don't even get out of bed. When you wake up, it can be just as simple as, good morning, Lord, and a few statements of thanksgiving. But that will open your communication with the Creator of the universe. That's the way we walk in peace. We walk with Him, the Creator of the universe. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that old film, called Milagro Beanfield War. I'm not a big movie guy, but I never remember them, so I can actually watch them two or three times over the years because I never remember them. But Milagro Beanfield War, I think I've seen that movie 10 times because I lived down there, and Robert Redford did this great job of capturing that culture. And one of the things that the old man said when he got up, said, "Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, God, for another day." We can just start with that. The danger that I believe that we can get into, and this seems to happen to me at times, is that if we don't start our day acknowledging God and inviting him into our day, we can easily just drift through the day without giving God and the will of God for our lives, that moment in time, much thought at all. So we start with God, and then we will stay with him. See, prayer is a privilege that's available to those who desire to get to know God better and to carry out his will in their daily living. So as I write that down, I think, so why wouldn't we exercise that privilege? Well, do you have a desire to know God better? Do you have a desire in your heart to actually carry out his will in your life, or are you just kind of doing your thing? It's a battle we all go through, so don't feel bad. It's a battle we all go through. But if we want to walk in the peace of God, we walk with him. So we start our day with him, and we keep saying, "Come on, Lord, help me out here. Pull me back in." The ultimate purpose of God, of prayer to God, is not to coerce God into blessing your plans or my plans. It is the opportunity to continue to align our heartfelt desires with God's desires by developing that deeper intimacy with God so that we can discover and then complete his perfect purpose for our lives. But I guess that still comes down to we have to be willing to do that, right? That has to be the desire of our hearts. And I've also preached on this before. If you don't have that desire, but you seem like, "Man, that would be kind of cool, but I don't have that," pray about that. Because God will give you the desire. Just acknowledge it. Just say, "Lord, you know, I'm really weak in that area. I don't really want to start my day in your word. I don't really want to start my day in prayer. Would you help me with that? Because I'm starting to feel in my spirit that maybe that would help me in my day." Just pray for that. Ask and you shall receive. The more willingly we are able to align our desires with God's purpose for us in prayer, so we're praying to God, aligning our desires with God's purpose for us, the more power he can release into our lives to carry out our plan. Because we can't use God's power to do what we want, but we can use God's power to do what he wants us to do. It's the old walk on water thing. I've done messages on it too, the faith that walks on water. When Jesus told Peter, "Come on out," Peter said, "Cool, I'm in. He didn't do that under his own power. He did that because he allowed to respond to God, and God said, "Come," in the form of Jesus, so he came. But as soon as he looked around, down he went. And not even a second later, there was Jesus' hand picking him up. We can do the same thing. It's okay. God doesn't ever get tired of reaching out his hand and picking us up. So we just pull back and say, "Lord, help me here." Again, this prayer time completes our relationship with God, because it's only through prayer that we're able to achieve and maintain that oneness, that reconciliation, that kind of relationship with God. We've been reconciled to God. It means we've been made one again with God that Jesus had when Jesus was walking on this earth. That's what Jesus had. That's what Jesus is offered to us now. And we can look to Jesus and see, how did he do it? He prayed a lot. So let's turn it back to John 14 if you're still there. John 14, we'll start in verse 6 and we'll just read this whole piece to get a greater understanding of how this might look. Jesus answered, now he's answering Philip, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Okay, I just want to correct myself. That was actually in response to Thomas. Thomas is on the other page, so I couldn't see that. It was Thomas who said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? So Jesus is responding to Thomas, but all the disciples are there at this point in time. So he says, from now on you do know him, that is God, and have seen him. And then as Philip comes up and says, Philip that said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Well, apparently not. Apparently not. Are we the same way? Yeah, we could be. But it's okay because Jesus is just trying to straighten old Philip out, and he's just trying to straighten us out. He says, the words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. We read that earlier. I love that concept. The Father living in Jesus doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. You know, we got a lot of miracles we could look at too. And say, wow, only God. No other way. So we have those things. And Jesus said, man, if you're struggling with that Father and me and the Father thing, at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves that I am who I say I am. And then he goes on, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may bring glory, the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And isn't that the hitch? Isn't that the one?
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the ones where we can make God our little cosmic Santa Claus? I think that's a misreading of that scripture. If it's all aligned with God, he will do whatever it is. But he wants us in line with him, and we need to make that effort. So Jesus' intimate relationship with his Father was what? A direct result of the time he spent with his Father in prayer. And so it will be with us. We often read in the Gospels where Jesus slipped away from the crowds to spend some time alone with the Father. Remember some of those stories? Where have you been? Everybody's looking for you. He's pouring out his heart in prayer to his Father. And that was natural for Jesus because he completely trusted his heart into his Father's hands. Isn't that kind of a step we don't always take? You know? I surrender all. Help me surrender all is a better prayer for us. But there was never a moment when Jesus couldn't call on his Father for help or for strength or for advice. He even called out to him on the cross. But God had to turn away to allow the sin debt to be paid in full. But Jesus, he stayed on that cross. He could have gotten off that cross. He stayed on that cross. Why? Because it was the Father's will. It was the Father's will that we would all be brought back into his family, and that was the only way. And so Jesus did that for his Father. Jesus' prayers were a testimony of his love and his faith in his Father and in his security of their relationship. Do we have that kind of a secure relationship with God? Well, I suggest we need to get there. We need to get more and more comfortable with God. I can say anything, and you will forgive everything. And you will bless me with whatever it is I need. And you will help me get through those times of trouble because those are the ways we learn. Remember, we learned that from Romans 5. Sometimes we are supposed to rejoice in our sufferings. That's a hard thing to do. But if we get aligned with God, it gets easier. And so this relationship, that is what we should have. Through the Holy Spirit, God gives you and me the same power that he gave Jesus when he was on this earth. And with that power, we are not only able to carry out God's purposes, but we are also able to realize our deepest desires because they begin to line up with God's. Let's look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. It's a great psalm. We're just going to do the first four verses. And this is really good for, I think, even in our time, to really think about this. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that great? If we delight ourselves in God Himself, He will give us the desires of our hearts. And in that is a transformation of what our desires are going to be. They're no longer going to be the material things of this world. They're going to be that relationship, that wonderful, intimate relationship with God. God will give His devoted ones the desires of their hearts if they just truly delight in Him. So please remember, the essence of prayer is that we are now connecting our will with God's will. We can seek His will and we can know His will, but then we've got to do His will, right? The ultimate result of an intimate relationship with God is a common will and purpose. Eventually, the things that you and I desire to do or to have will become the very same things that God wants us to have or to do. Prayer is not for you and me to get what we want. Instead, it is for us to learn to want what God gives and to want what He desires us to have. Because remember, God only desires that we receive His very best for us. He just wants His very best for us. So we got to learn to just love what God wants to give us and accept it with joy. So by connecting our will to God, it is not so that He can move us around, though, like little puppets on a string. We don't commit ourselves to God so we're puppets. Remember, we have free will. That's part of the battle. But He connect ourselves to God's will so that we can realize our greatest desires while He accomplishes His perfect purposes through us on this earth, through whoever we're in contact with, wherever God sets us down. When we connect our will with God's through prayer, we begin to understand where our deepest desires and God's purposes meet. Think about that. Our deepest desires can meet in God's purposes. And then we walk in peace, we walk in joy. It is in that very same place that we will find the power by God's Spirit to act accordingly. As I've often been saying this year, God never asks you, can you do this for me? Can you do this? Can you do this? He only asks you, will you do this? Will you do this? Will you do this for me? Because He's going to do the can part. But you've got to be willing. I've got to be willing. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar territory again. I pray this every morning. But there's an interesting application here in the concept of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. The armor of God. I love this series of verses in Scripture. Here he's kind of like talking about the army of God. And we're the army of one in this case for us, if we take it personally. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So then now he kind of tries to explain what he's talking about. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle isn't with people, faces. Whether we know them or not, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. That readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. What is that talking about? The good news of peace is that we have peace with our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross and His resurrection on the third day. That's the good news of peace, and we have that peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I was reading an interesting commentary about this in a book I'm reading. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I just want to throw it out there. His point is that, okay, now you've got this, the One New Man Bible says the long shield of faith. So it's that big shield, not that little, you know, Captain America dude. It's the one that's like as big as a door, practically. You've got that long shield of faith, and it'll extinguish all the flaming arrows, the evil one. And this guy pointed out, why you have arrows? That's because you have already, by putting on the armor of God, you've evicted him from your presence. So now he's coming from a long ways off. That's why he's using our arrows. I don't know. Just an interesting thought. But it is so that we're really not necessarily in hand-to-hand combat right now. Continues, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So let's try to connect this. We studied this very thoroughly in the past. You had that picture of all the armor ready for battle. And what are we told we're supposed to do? Now we've got all this armor. We've got the sword and everything. Pray. It says pray. It doesn't say run headlong into battle. Remember, they tried to do that. Remember when they got through Jericho and then they decided, oh, these guys are a piece of cake. Just send like 3 guys up there. Well, 3,000 guys up there. We can take these guys out. And I think there was a little community of AI. And they got their helmets handed to them because they didn't pray. They didn't take God with them. So we got all this armor on, and what are we told? Pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Are we praying for all the saints? I pray you are. I know I am. I know Julie is, at least as best as we can. Try to, you know, just to be obedient to the Word of God, pray for all the saints. With all this great armor on, we are admonished to pray. We cannot expect victory if we do not look to God in prayer. And it doesn't say we are to pray occasionally. It says always. We are to pray also with all kinds of prayer. What does that mean? Prayer in the closet, prayer with the family, prayer at a social gathering, prayer in the assembly of the saints, prayer at the usual times, prayer when we are especially tempted by something, and when we just feel like praying. Pray in the form of supplication for ourselves, that is, pleading to God for ourselves. That's okay. But also in the form of intercession for others. We intercede for those who are suffering and pray. That is, after all, the great weapon of our spiritual armor. And by this we may hope to prevail. So we've got all that armor on, and what are we told to do? Pray. And it says, pray for all the saints. Why? Because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Even though they may have a different skin color, a different language, a different name, they are still our brothers and sisters in Christ. And because, like us, they have hearts that are prone to evil, and they need, just as we do, the grace of God. Can we not pray the grace of God on all the saints? Because nothing tends so much to make us love others and forget their faults as to pray for them. That's a powerful thought. And this has worked in my life over many, many years. When I start praying for someone, I can't be mad at them anymore. If I seriously start praying for them all the time, I can't be mad at them anymore. God just takes that all away. And it gives me this heart of compassion to pray for them. So we pray for one another, even those, you know, that are not so easy to love. Even those that we don't like, God says, love them. How can you do that? Pray for them. Pray for our hearts to be softened. Pray also because the condition of the church is always such that it is greatly in need of the grace of God. The church needs God's grace. Many Christians have backslidden. Many are cold or lukewarm. Many are now in error. Many are conformed to the world. And we should pray that they may become more holy, that is, more separated from the world, and may devote themselves more to God. We can always pray. I thank you, Lord, for the love that abounds in the body of Christ, and I pray it will abound more and more and more. And finally, because each day many Christians are subjected to the same or some sort of special temptation or trial, and though they may be unknown to us, we don't even know what they're going through, yet our prayers may still benefit them. And so we pray. We are told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Everybody knows this one, right? Pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. And that sounds really, really impossible. But I read this thing from an author named Dallas Willard, and he said this: constant prayer will only burden you as wings burden the bird in flight. Think of that. What a neat thought. The wings are not a burden to the bird in flight, but they are the very lift that gives the bird the ability to fly. Wow. They're the very lift that gives that bird the ability to live. Because most birds that depend on flight, they're not going to live long if they don't have it anymore. Amen? One of the greatest blessings of making prayer a constant practice for us is seeing the work of God in our lives on a daily basis. We begin to see God's hand in not just the big things in our lives, but also in the everyday common things. My friend Joe here, he's constantly reminding us how God is even in the little things of everyday life. Amen? Joe, you tell us that all the time. As we keep in step with what God is doing around us, we begin to see God in everything. We see Him everywhere. And you know those little tiny things, even those little ones that you don't even want to talk about because it's almost silly, but you know, that God made that happen for you. Making prayer a regular practice doesn't mean that your eyes are closed and you're down on your knees 24 hours a day. We can talk with God, and we can listen to God anywhere and anytime. If you have a hard time listening to God, I hear that a lot. I don't ever hear from Him. You will hear from Him in here. So this has got to be part of that whole communication process. You will hear from Him in here. And I believe we keep trying this and keep this as our focus, you'll start hearing. And maybe you have one of those spooky, friends that always says, "I heard from God today," and sometimes they make you a little nervous. But I hear from God now and then. And sometimes he's made it so clear to me, I still remember almost word for word exactly what He said. So it's true. You'll still be called kooky, by people who don't believe you. But that's okay. Be kooky for Christ. Let's be kooky for Christ. See, we don't have to sign up and make a little appointment with Him, and we don't have to have some sort of special religious language that we must figure out how to use to have Him understand us and to hear us. All we have to do is keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. I love that. Hebrews 12:2. Our eyes are fixed upon Jesus and keep that conversation going. That's what Jesus did all the time. And that's why I so love some of the more simple things in the Word. Proverbs 3:5-6, one of my favorites. Let's go to Proverbs 3:5-6. I've always just felt like it's so simple. It's we that complicate it. But listen to what Proverbs 3:5-6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Okay, so there's a step. We got to trust Him, but I don't necessarily want to, because what am I doing? I'm leaning on my own understanding. And so He says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, because God's ways are not our ways. We cannot figure Him out, and that's good. I don't want a God that I can figure out, but a lot of people do. I don't want that God. I want this one I can trust with all of my heart, and I'm not going to even try and understand it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You want to figure out what God wants? Just in all your ways, acknowledge him. Thank him for the sorrow. Thank him for the cool stuff. Thank him for the chocolate shake you have with your friend. Thank him for the cup of coffee. Thank him for your dinner. Thank him for all this stuff. Big stuff, little stuff, thank him. The hardest part for most of us is to thank him in our sorrow. Thank him when we're suffering. And I've heard from some of you, that's one of the ways you get through it. It's finally you have to say thank you. And that's true. We just got to trust God in all things. Don't try to understand him or understand the situation, but in all things, in all situations, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Acknowledge he's in this. Somehow he's in this. And we're not going to try to understand it. We're not going to lean on our own understandings, but we're going to trust him. And then he will make it clear eventually what your path is, and he will make your path straight. We pray to him. We consult him in everything that we do. We keep his glory in view. As what? It is God's glory is to be our goal. Our goal is to glorify God. Keep that in view. Lord, how can I glorify you today? Lord, what do you want from me today to your glory? So in all your ways, you just say, God, your glory is in my view. So then you attribute all your blessings to him and him alone. That keeps us from getting pretty proud of ourselves. Wow, I'm pretty cool, man. Look at all the stuff I got. And it keeps us always just giving thanks. The promise then follows the precept. You will not be disappointed in your confidence in God if you consult him in all things. He will guide you to all holiness and all happiness. We just have to trust him, and he will get us there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that last part's kind of hard for us. It's hard for us just to trust you in all these things, especially when things aren't going very well in our perspective. And so, Lord, I pray you will help us in that. You will help us not to lean on our own understandings. Help us to not do that, but to trust you in all things. And I pray especially for those that are struggling. And many of those I know, they aren't here today, and that's fine. Many of them don't even come here. And many of us know those people too. And that's part of praying for all the saints. Not just the people sitting here today, but the people in our lives. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for them as they go through their times of struggle. I think of Janet and Daryl, Vance and Trudy, many, many others. Help us to have that kind of heart, Lord, to trust in you in all things. Don't lean on our understandings and just let you guide our paths. Help us, Lord, to develop this habit of prayer. We start our day with you, and then you are with us throughout the day. And we end our day with you. We need your help, though, Lord. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.